Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everybody. Tonight that we just give God the praise and we give God the glory. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
He's been so good to us. He's been so good. When it looked like we wasn't going to make it, we made it. Because we kept our eyes on the star posts in glory. And we believe that God has done for us. And tonight that our beloved apostle is going to come and going to give us the word. We're going to press him on the name of Jesus. Apostle?
Yes, sir.
Amen.
How you doing, Apostle?
Oh, I tell you, I'm 100%, 100% plus.
Amen. Amen. God is good.
All the time.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm.
It's good to be on the air with you again.
It's good to have you on the air with us again. It's good to have you on the air. Because we're moving forward to give God nothing but the glory. Nothing but the glory.
Yes, sir. Yes,
Amen.
Sir. We serve him. He'll keep us alive.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Praise him. Hey, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Well, I know you got a word that you can tell us, so I'm itching at the ear to hear what you got to say.
Okay. You want me to go ahead and start?
Yes, sir.
Well, I'll go ahead and give the topic first tonight.
Okay.
The message is how to experience the power of God's word.
Oh, man, that's a good subject. That's a good subject.
How to experience the power of God's word.
How?
Power from God's word is just not automatically released. There are some things that we have to do. How to experience the power of God's word. You know the power of God's, I know you know, doctor, Yeshua, Jesus was in a village one day.
Yes.
And the Bible says there he wanted to do a mighty work.
A mighty work.
But he could only heal a few sick folk.
A few sick folk. That's what the book says.
And then it says he couldn't because of their unbelief.
Unbelief.
He is the word. The power of the word of God was there to heal everybody.
Yes.
But only a few got healed.
Mm-hmm.
Because of their unbelief, they didn't get healed. So that proves that to experience the power of God's word, you got to do something.
That's right.
You got to do something.
Got to.
He said himself. Yeshua said himself. He said he wanted to heal them all. Isn't that right, Dr. Hunter? He wanted to heal every one of them, but he couldn't. Why come he couldn't heal them all? Because of their unbelief. They didn't believe. So there's things that we have to do in order to experience the power of God's word. You can be right in the midst of God's word and miss out on what he wants to do in your life. You can be right in the church, word going forth, and you can miss out on what God wants to do in your life. See, there's some things that we have to do in order to experience the power of God. Let's look at Psalm 138. Psalm 138.
Okay. Psalm 138.
Psalm 138. Psalm 138 and look at verse 2. Psalm 138 and verse 2. The Bible says, I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word. He's magnified what? God has
word.
Magnified his word above all thy name. God has magnified his word. He's placed his word above his name.
Yes.
That's how important his word is. God's word is so important that he's placed it above his name.
Yes.
good God Almighty.
Hallelujah.
For him to place the word above his name, it has to be very important.
Very
That's
important.
Power.
That's power.
So we need to know how to experience this word, the power of this word that God, Yahweh, has placed above his name.
Yes.
Let's look at Psalm 119. And look at verse 89. Psalm 119, and let's read verse 89. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven.
Yes.
There's some power in God's word.
Yes.
There's power in his word. There is effectiveness in his word. For how long? The scripture says here, for what? Forever.
Forever.
Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Malachi chapter 3, verse 6 says he's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Malachi 3:6 says he's the Lord and he changed it not. So Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8 says he's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. So we can experience that same power of God's word today.
Today.
Now that Hebrew word is in Psalm 138, verse 2, that Hebrew word for the word is
Imara. In
Psalm 119, verse 89, that Hebrew word for word is Dabar. Dabar. That's the Hebrew word for word. And we're going to look at tonight how to experience the power of God's word. It has to be powerful. He's placed his word above his name. That's heavy. I had never seen that scripture before. I had never read that scripture before where he had placed his word above his name. He's magnified his word above his name. We're going to look at how to experience the power of God's word. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. How to experience the power of God's word. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, and let's look at verse 13. We're going to look at what we have to do to experience this power of God's word.
Mm-hmm.
1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13 says, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard, when you what? Received the word of God, which ye heard, when you did what? Received the word of God, which ye heard of us. Ye received it. Put a box around that in your Bible. You did what with the word of God? Ye received it. What did you do with the word of God? You received it not as the word of men. No, the word of God is much more than just the word of mere men, but as it is in truth, the word of God. See, we can't receive the word of God as just words of mere men. No, the Holy Spirit came upon men, and they wrote the Bible. But God, the Holy Spirit, came upon them. It's the inspired word of God. God used men as secretaries, but it was God telling them what to say and write down. It's the inspired word of God. It's inspired by God. And so we got to receive it as such. We got to receive it as the truth. We have to receive it as the word of God. And it goes on to say, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. So number one, we got to receive it and we got to believe it.
Amen.
We got to receive it, and we got to believe it. And then it will effectually work it. Do you see that in verse 13, that latter part? It says, which effectually what? Worketh also in you that believe. You got to receive it, and then you got to what? Believe it.
Believe it.
So number one, to experience the power of God, you got to receive it and believe it. And then it says, it effectually worketh. Now, what does that mean? Effectually worketh. That's what it says in my King James Bible. It's letting us know in this scripture, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, that when we receive his word and we believe it, it effectually worketh. Now, what does that mean? That Greek word, effectually worketh, it means successful in producing a desired or intended result.
Yes,
God Almighty. God is saying when you receive his word and believe it, it's going to be successful in what? Producing a desired or intended result. It's going to happen for you. For example, you need healing in your body.
Yes.
If you receive the scripture, Isaiah 53, verse 5, but he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. If you receive that word from God and you believe it in your heart, the scripture says it's going to effectually work it.
Yes.
That means it's going to be successful in producing a desired or intended result. I don't know about you, but that makes me happy.
Amen.
That makes me happy. You mean to tell me I can take that scripture and receive it in my heart and believe it? It's going to effectually work it. That's what the scripture is saying. It's going to work. Amen. No doubt about it.
No doubt
it's
about it.
It's going to work.
It's
so if you're sick in your body, go to Isaiah 53, verse 5, and get that scripture that with this stripe we are healed. Receive that word and believe it in your heart, and it's going to effectually work it.
Amen.
That means to be successful in producing a desired or intended result. Good God Almighty. Everybody that's listening to this word ought to be happy because somebody is going through something right now in their life, and the Bible has the answer to any situation in our life. You can go to the Bible, get the scripture on what you need to take place in your life, receive it in your heart, and believe it. It will effectually work it. Good God Almighty. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. That's not my word. That's God's word. And if you take it and receive it and believe it, it's going to produce. It's going to produce in your life. It's going to produce a desired or intended result.
That's it.
Now, let's read that scripture again, and it ought to mean something. It ought to just explode in your heart. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, for this cause also thank we God. Remember, this is the inspired word of God that we're reading. Without ceasing. Because when you received, when you what? When you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men. When you hear the word of God just coming out of some man's mouth, don't take it as just the word of man. No, but as it is in truth, the word of God. And then it says, which what? Which effectually what? Working. Also you, in you that believe. When you receive his word and you believe it, it's going to work.
It's going to work. God bless
you. How to experience the power of God's word. That's why I know that with Jesus stripes, with Yeshua's stripes, that's how I know I'm not sick. I'm healed. Just because Satan throws symptoms at you doesn't make you sick.
That's right.
You got to believe God's word.
You got to
receive God's word, and you got to believe it. And it will produce the desired and intended result. It'll happen for you.
My God.
You know, that scripture says all things are possible to them that what? Believe it. It might not be possible before the other person because they don't believe. But if you receive God's word and believe it, it's possible for you.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Going, matter of fact, the Bible says that you're going to produce the desired or intended results. It's going to work in your life.
Yeah.
It's going to work for you, child of God. We got to stand on the word of God. We got to believe God's word and stop believing people and believing a lot of hogwash. God has the answer for every situation for us in his word. If we receive his word and believe it, it's going to, what does that scripture say, Dr. Hunter? It's going to effectually work it. It's going to effectually work it. And what that means is going to be successful in producing a desired or intended result in your life. You ought to go to bed tonight a lot happier. Receive it, believe it. How to experience the power of God's word. Receive it, believe it. Number two, we got to handle his word properly. We got to handle it properly. Those who are teachers of God's word, we got to teach it correct because people are expected to do this word. And you can hurt them. I'm going to show you in the word of God. You could cause death and pain and hurt and destruction for a first person if you don't teach it correctly. If you don't handle the word of God properly. You see, I put in many hours and hours and years of study. And going to the original languages. Why am I doing all this? Because I'm a teacher of God's word, and the Bible says not many should want to teach, because if you don't teach it right, you'll be beaten with a many stripes.
That's right.
It's important to handle the word of God properly, correctly, or you can hurt yourself, you can cause death to yourself or to others. Because when people hear the word of God, they're expected to what? To do it. We don't want people doing the wrong thing. So we got to handle the word of God properly. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2. We're talking about how to experience the power of God's word. Number one, we got to receive it and believe it. Number two, we got to handle it properly. If we got to handle it properly. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 through 18 says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's handling it what? Properly.
Properly.
Verse 16 says, son, turn away from profane and vain babbling. You got people saying anything over the pulpit. You got people saying anything. That's why you got to go back and study, and you got to search the scripture. You got to go to the original languages. You got to find out for yourself. You got to do like the Bereans. You got to make sure that what you're hearing is correct. And so God says in verse 16, he says, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. You don't want to be hearing the word incorrectly. It will increase more ungodliness in your life. Look at verse 17. Look at verse 17. And their word will eat as doeth a canker. Now, that word canker right there in the Greek, I looked it up. That Greek word is where we get the word gangrene. God Almighty, you know what gangrene is. Gangrene, it is a sore that will eat away at your body, skin, bones, flesh, and all. So look what the scripture is saying right here. Uncorrect teaching, their word will eat away at you like a canker or gangrene. That's heavy.
That's heavy right there. Yes, indeed.
That's serious. Incorrect teaching will eat away at your flesh and bones like gangrene. gangrene. And in the Greek, I looked it up, it's an eating sore. It's a sore that eats your flesh and bones and blood and everything. It eats away your fingers and stuff. I saw a picture of it on the internet. It eats away your fingers and legs and arms. And so getting incorrect teaching, receiving incorrect teaching and believing that into your life or even speaking it, it will eat away your at you like gangrene.
Mm-hmm.
Look at verse 18. Who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. You see, incorrect teaching will overthrow the faith of people. It will eat away at people's life. We have to handle the word of God correctly.
Correctly.
Now I want to share something with you. You write these scriptures down, and I'm just going to share it with you because I don't have enough time to go through all the scriptures. These scriptures down. Exodus chapter 25, verses 10 through 16. That's Exodus chapter 25, verses 10 through 16. And write down 2 Samuel chapter 6, verses 6 and 7. Now, what these scriptures are talking about, over in Exodus, there was the Ark of the Covenant. God mm-hmm. was explaining to them how to build the Ark of the Covenant.
Yes.
He also told them what to put inside of the Ark of the Covenant. First of all, he told them, I want you to put rings on the Ark of the Covenant to carry it. I want you to put staves through the rings, and I want you to carry the Ark of the Covenant that way.
Yeah.
I don't want you touching the Ark of the Covenant itself. I want you to put those poles through the rings that's on the Ark of the Covenant, and I want you to carry it that way. Now, God has given the people instructions. He's given them how to carry the Ark of the Covenant. Inside of the Ark of the Covenant was a golden jar of manna. Also, off inside of the Ark of the Covenant was Aaron's budded staff.
Yes.
And also inside of the Ark of the Covenant was the Ten Commandments, God's word, the law. Now,
the law.
We already read early that God has placed his word above his what? Above his name. God's word is very important to God. It's so important to God and us. He said he's placed his word above his name. So what's in the Ark of the Covenant? The manna, the golden jar of manna, Aaron's budded staff. But what's the most important thing that's off in the Ark of the Covenant? The Ten Commandments, the law, the word of God. How can I say that that's the most important thing off in the Ark of the Covenant? Because over in Psalm, we read it earlier Psalm 38, verse 2, he says, God says that he's magnified his what? Word.
Yes, right.
Above his name.
Above his name.
So that's what's in the Ark of the Covenant. The word of God, along with the manna, the golden jar of manna, and with Aaron's budded staff, the word is off in the Ark of the Covenant. Now, God, I want you to carry it with poles. I don't want you touching the Ark of the Covenant.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to carry it like this. Now, look at 2 Samuel. I want to show you what happened. Look at 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel chapter 6. 2 Samuel chapter 6. And look at verse 6 and 7. It says, and when they came to Nochan's threshing floor, Uzzah put forth his hand to the ark of God. What? They were told not to touch the Ark of the Covenant. He's going to think that he's excused. He got a perfectly good reason to touch it after God told him not to touch it. He took hold of it, for the oxen shook it. Okay, so the oxen was walking, and what? It shook the Ark of the Covenant. Uzzah thought that he was excused to put forth his hand and hold it. But look what happened in verse 7. The anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and God did what? Smote him there for his error.
Yes.
And there he died by the Ark of God. He died because he put his hands on the Ark of the Covenant. God told them that you must carry the Ark of the Covenant on poles. You're going to carry it on poles. You're supposed to carry it. Don't put your hands on it. But what did he do? He handled God's word improperly.
Improperly. My God.
You can't handle God's word any way that you feel like you want to handle it. You have to handle it properly.
Properly.
He died because he didn't handle God's word properly. What? How did God tell them to carry it? On poles.
On poles.
What did Uzziah do? He touched the Ark of the Covenant with his what? Hands.
Mm-hmm.
What's inside of the Ark of the Covenant? The word of God.
The word
who
of
told
God.
Him, who told them not to touch it? The word of God.
The word of
when
God.
You don't handle the word of God properly, it can eat away like a canker. It can eat you away and destroy you like gangrene.
Yes.
We're talking about how to experience the power of God's word. Number one, we got to receive it and believe it. Number two, we got to handle it properly. And my final point, look at Hebrews chapter 11.
Hebrews
chapter 11. See, there's a right way to do anything. There's a right and a wrong way. And there's God's way. We got to do things God's way if we want to experience the power of the word of God. Hebrews chapter 11, and look at verse 11. It says, through faith also Sarah herself, what did she do? She received strength to conceive. Sarah was nearly 100 years old.
Yeah.
And she received what? Strength to receive, to conceive. Look, through faith also Sarah, she what? Herself. Received strength to conceive seed and was delivered a child when she was past age. How did this happen? Because she what? Judged him faithful who had promised. She considered God's word what? Faithful. God told her she was going to have a baby. She believed it and received it. She judged it faithful. She said God's word is true. She judged it faithful, and she had a child at nearly 100 years old.
My goodness.
So to experience the power of God, you got to judge his word what? Faithful.
Faithfully.
In other words, you got to consider it as what? Faithful. When you
faithful.
Do that, something will happen. Glory to God. Something will happen when you judge his word, when you consider it what? Faithful. She didn't say, this ain't going to happen. She didn't say, this ain't going to happen. I'm too old. I'm past time to have a baby. No.
That's
the Bible says she what? She considered what God had promised what? Faithful.
Faithful.
She considered his word faithful, and she had a baby at nearly 100 years old.
My God,
and
my God.
And I got one more scripture. Look at Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. Consider his word faithful. Something will happen in your life. Look at Luke chapter 1, verse 26.
Blessed.
Luke chapter 1, verse 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto the city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin, espoused to a man whose name, marriage was espoused to a man named Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. Mary was a what? She was a virgin. Look at verse 28. And Gabriel came to Mary with a message from God. Look at verse 28. And the angel came unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Look at verse 29. And when she saw him, saw who? The angel. She was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. Look at verse 30. And the angel said unto her, the angel has a message from God for Mary. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Look at verse 31. And behold, thou hast conceived in thy, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. Now, she's a virgin. She ain't had any, haven't had sex. She's a virgin. But God's word through an angel is saying she's going to have the Son of God. But look at verse 32. And he shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Look at verse 34. And then said Mary unto the angel. Now Mary's getting ready to talk back to the angel, Gabriel.
Hmm.
And then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? I'm a virgin. Look at verse 35.
Oh, no, man.
And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore, all that also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Look at verse 36. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she had also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. Look at verse 37. For with God nothing shall be impossible. Verse 38. And look what Mary did. And Mary said, and Mary what? And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. She considered his word what?
Faithful.
She judged his word faithful. And she bore the Son of God. See, when we consider God's word faithful, be it unto me, God, as you said, I believe it. Yeah, I believe that. I take that. Be it unto me, as you said. I consider your word faithful, God. It's true. It's right. It's true. I believe it. That's what she did. Consider his word faithful. Something will happen in your life.
Mm-hmm.
That's how to experience the power of God. We got to receive it and believe it. We got to handle it properly, and we got to consider it faithful. And that's it, guys.
Amen. Well, the Lord bless you, and I just pray with you that no enemy formed against you shall prosper, and God has given us the strength in our bodies and our understanding, and we stand firm before God. But I like the way you put that, how to experience God's word. We got to go into and take it. We got to take it. Got to put it upon our hearts and our thinking. So tonight's the night that we just say hallelujah, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. So we got Pastor Irvin, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Go ahead.
How are you tonight?
All right, then. That's so good to your voice, man. So good to your voice.
I've been busy.
I believe you.
I've been really busy. You know, once again, I'm falling right behind the apostles' words there, you know, about being taking God's word, you know, and using the words right, righteously.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Our God is awesome. It's a powerful
word. Yeah, you know, I just wrote a little piece here a little bit ago, I'm not being critical of anything, but we got all the lot of the youths that are going to these different functions where the different programs they have for them for preaching and dance and all different things like that. And God spoke to me about that the other day.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, since when has my word become a contest to see who is the better preacher?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And I sat there and I got thinking about that. And you know, there's a lot of the youth ministers and that are going to these state functions where they have these different programs for the kids. And I'm all for that. Don't get me wrong. on what I'm about to say here. Because we got to be careful. Because in delivering God's word, God sat there and told me, he says, when I speak through you, it is of the Holy Spirit. But what you mm-hmm. speak of yourself is not of me, but of yourself.
Amen.
And there's so many of these kids that are trying to learn how to be preachers. And you know, we really don't have to learn how to be preachers because the Holy Spirit is on us. We have the word to give, and it is freely given.
That's right.
And it doesn't matter how old you are. I don't care if you're a five-year-old. I don't care if you're 105 years old. So
yes.
we have to be careful. We have to be very careful with God's word. You know,
yes.
we can misquote things. We can say things out of order. We can have just to speak so we can sound good.
Man,
and we gotta be very careful. Because are we allowing the youth to be able to the ability to receive from the Holy Spirit to give a word,
yeah.
or are they just taking words and writing them down just to make them sound good?
Yes,
talking.
You know, and you know that's we have to be very careful on that.
Yes.
You know, every day there isn't a man or a woman that doesn't come under attack of somehow or form or another. And with misguided words that are given by people in the pulpit, and this happens on a daily basis, you know, we all know it.
Yeah.
You know, because people want to be sounding good, so people want to be doing this and that and whatever
yeah.
else. And we got, like I said, you know, when the pastor told me about coming into the ministry, he says, you know, he says, we're going to be held accountable. We're going to be held accountable higher than anyone else.
That's right.
We're going to have the souls of individuals that we're going to be held accountable for. The ones that we lose, the ones that we find salvation through the words that we speak, as long as they're the words of the Holy Spirit and the knowledge of the Word
Amen.
Of God. And we can't do that. You know, if we're opening doors up and we're allowing just the spirituality to come into our lives to feel good and speak
go ahead,
good things, because you know sometimes sometimes we have to say a word that's a harsh word, you know, but that brings correction. I know when God sits there and brings correction to me, it's harsh. It's not an easy thing to take. In fact, sometimes it's humiliating. Sometimes it's downright painful. But, you know, God gives us that word in order for us to grow, and gives us those words in order for us to be able to have the
yes.
Holy Spirit to manifest in our lives so we can have a prosperous life.
Yes. Amen.
Amen.
So, amen. And so, you know, like I said, we have to be very careful.
My God, my God.
We have to be very, very careful what we speak.
Yes, sir. Amen.
We cannot just sit there and you know, Jesus, I think I spoke about this once before. Jesus told us about the kingdom of heaven and all the good things in the kingdom of heaven and everything that is wonderful and beautiful in the kingdom of heaven. He told us we have it here on earth for those who receive and believe in him. But he also told us the thing that sound negative is the things that's going to happen, but through persecution, some maybe be stoned, some be boiled in oil, some would be crucified. Some would become disoriented. Some would fall by the wayside. But he told us all these things. What he did, he prepared us. He prepared each and every one of us that have followed after Christ.
Mm-hmm.
He gave us the spirit to fight. He gave us the spirit to learn. He gave us the spirit to endure.
Yes.
And a lot of times we can't have that just listening to the good things. Sometimes we have to hear what may sound negative which are not really negative, because it is very positive. If we can't have a negative without a positive, we can't have a positive without a negative.
That's it.
And, you know, so I just want to speak very, very plainly and clearly to a lot of these ministries that are out there that are sending these kids to these rallies and different things for teaching them to preach and teaching them to do other things that these kids need to learn and know and understand that
they do.
Given the word of God, it has to be holy words and not just sounding words. They got to be words that are of wisdom. They got to be words of knowledge. They have to be the words that God has laid into their hearts, that they understand and that they receive.
Yeah.
So they can freely give it. Because even if these little programs and different things that they're doing in these contests and other things that they're doing, you know, yes, it's good, but they're all saying the same thing, is because there's people out there that are listening to you. There's going to be people out there who's going to take that word that you speak, and it may sound good, it might sound just the most wonderful thing in the world. But if you're doing it just for you to show yourself approved, then you're wrong. God is the one who shows us approved.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's not us.
We just speak the word.
We just speak the word. That God gives us to speak.
Mm-hmm. That's it.
It's just like you, Apostle, when you're teaching, in the teaching of the word. And knowing and understanding what it is that you're teaching us, and all the other ministers out there, the teachers that are teaching out there, you know, it's the understanding to be without the understanding of the knowledge and the wisdom, all it is just like running water and tinkling brass. If there's nothing to it, if your Holy Spirit is in you and you're carrying the word and you're carrying it across, then, you know, those who have ears will hear.
Yes.
We don't need to sound and make ourselves look good, because we can't make ourselves look good.
That's right.
The Holy
Spirit
that makes us look good.
Yes, sir.
It's not us.
Amen.
Amen.
You know, there's times when I first got to become and know the Lord, and I listen to some of these pastors, and I'm going, well, where is it?
Then
I got asking and questioning, where is it? And it's not coming. And we start to lose, we don't lose faith, but we lose the reality of the word of God that it was planted in us, because we get thinking about the natural things instead of the supernatural things and the beauty of Christ. And we kept wondering, where is it, Lord? Where is this heaven on earth?
My God.
Where's my house at, Lord? Where's my car?
Yeah.
Where's my fortune?
Yeah.
Where's my one single hit to get me on top, Lord?
Yeah.
You know, and we start letting this stuff into our lives. We start letting this stuff to come into our lives, and it really starts to take over. And there is no room for Christ at that point, because all we're listening to is ourselves. We're listening to the devil whispering in our ears. We're pulling it into our hearts, and we're demanding, and we're asking, and we're crying out unto the Lord, where is it? Where is it?
Hmm.
And the truth is, some of us heard a story from someone that thought they was telling something that was to be good, that's really destroyed someone else's life.
Yes.
And we have to be very careful, because we're held accountable for that.
Yes, sir.
And we're, you know, if it is of the Word of God, and if it's the Holy Word of God and the Holy Spirit that is speaking through us, each and every one of us, that is speaking the Word of God, you know, with that clarity, we can't go wrong. It's been when we start showboating ourselves, we start showboating that how good we are, how good we can be, whether we stand in at the pulpit, whether two people are there, or 2,000 or 200,000.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right.
That's right.
That's right.
We have to stand firm in the Holy Spirit, because otherwise we're leading people down a dangerous path, because they start asking themselves, where is it, Lord? Where is it that temptation will come in? That horror, that a lack of understanding, that point of being in our lives, that we're in our lives, that we're asking God, we're questioning God, where is it? Where is it? And God has already given it to us, but we haven't opened our eyes to it to see it. We haven't opened our spirit to see it. We haven't opened anything else because we listened to a word that was preached from the pulpit that came from a man and not from the Holy Spirit.
My God.
We have to be careful on what we speak. We have to be careful on what we talk about. We have to be careful in what we teach and what we preach.
Yeah.
And if there's any young adults out there that are going to these different things, praise God, you're striving, you're trying to make something. But just be sure that what you're doing is of the Holy Spirit of God, that He is speaking to you as you're out there trying to present yourself as a minister, and not as a contest. Not just if you be the better preacher than the next one gets up before you, or the one that got up after you.
Right.
Because that is not where God's word is at. God's word is in it. It's like you said, He put His word above Himself.
That's right.
My God.
He said to me very plainly, when has my word become a contest?
That's right. That's good.
Ladies and gentlemen, it doesn't matter. Even if you're not in these contests or the youth that are going to and things like that, that's okay. Because if you're in a contest to be a better preacher than the preacher that you know, that you've seen at the pulpit and say, I can do better than that, you're wrong.
That's wrong. That's wrong. That's right.
Because you are not no longer obeying me being a minister of God, but you being a minister of yourself.
That's right.
That's it.
That's right. That's good.
We have to stand firm with the Holy Spirit, because I'll tell you what, once that Spirit gets on you and gets in you and you start questioning God and you start asking God, you're opening up that door for failure. You're opening up that door for that bringing in despair and discouragement. You're bringing in and opening up them doors that God had closed for you a long time ago when you received Christ. He says, come back to my first love.
That's it. That's what he said. Come back.
Amen. And it's not listening to me preach any more than it is anyone else to preach. It's being able to hear the word of God that is coming from a man's heart who has the knowledge and understanding, that who is speaking firmly and through the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit alone. I don't care if it brings conviction to a man's heart. I don't care if it brings joy to a man's heart. I don't care what it brings into a man's heart. If it's of the Holy Spirit, that word is for you.
Amen.
If you received it, that word was for you. But be rest assured, don't let it be your words that are being spoken, because that is a dangerous path that you're leading your people down, and we cannot do this. Time is short.
Time is short.
We can see it every day. We can see that where Iran and Russia are coming together. We can see in different focus of what's going on in the world. We can see how Saudi Arabia and everybody else is in the conflict, We can see that is surrounding Israel. We can see all the things. We can see the turmoil right here in the United States and anywhere else in the world. We can see where everybody is turning their back on God, and they're turning into spirituality, into everything else, and releasing themselves. Those who already know who Jesus is are releasing themselves from Christ, and they're going out into the world, into the natural, into the spirituality. They're going into the realms of things that they believe that is a far better word than what God had to bring. It's because somewhere along the line, they heard somebody speak, and it wasn't of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We are going to be held accountable.
Yes, sir.
Brothers, sisters of Christ, we have to stand firm. We have to stand in that knowledge and that wisdom and understanding who God is. We have to come to that conclusion that we know that when we speak, it's not of ourselves. We have to know and understand that the words that we speak are very crucial to those. I don't care if they've fallen away in order to bring them back. I don't care what case it may be. I mean, where we hold back a word and because of, well, we really don't think we should, or we should be saying things like that because we really don't want to discourage them. Sometimes that discouragement is a key word that will bring them back. It will bring an awakening to their hearts. It will bring awakening back to their souls. It will bring awakening back to their minds and their spirit. They're drawn back closer to God. That might sound like a negative thought or a negative impulse under what you were going to speak unto somebody, but sometimes that negative impulse or that negative word that you spoke into that person's life will bring a positive attitude towards them and positive attitudes back towards Christ, just as much as a positive word that you can speak into somebody's life and continue to speak positive, 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 and yet there's not seen any results, and it becomes a negative word to them. We have to stop and really sit and know that when we're speaking to somebody, that it is not ourselves, but of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
We have to sit there and teach those who are coming up behind us into the Word of God, who are wanting to be ministers, and that they need to know and understand this is a reality that we, each and every one of us, has to deal with. And that is not, it's not about who we are, what we are, or what we say. It's what the Holy Spirit does through us, with us, for us. And it's not for us most of the time, it's for someone else. We are just a witness. We're just a spoken wheel at times. Sometimes we are the only light that they'll ever see.
Amen. Amen. Praise the living God.
Amen. So, but you know, like I said, I don't know why, but I was very, very, I mean, when God spoke those words to me, and he sat there and he said, since when has my words become a contest?
Hmm.
And see who's a better preacher.
That's right.
There's nobody as a better preacher.
That's right.
That's
we
right.
All have a right hand, we all have a left hand, and each hand does something different than the other.
Yeah. Amen.
Most all of us have two eyes, and one eye sees things in one way, and then the other eye will see something in another way. We have a nearsighted and farsighted that brings a 20/20 vision in our eyesight.
There's one thing.
Amen.
You
know, so these are the things that I don't know. I don't know why tonight, why I'm speaking this, because I know somebody out there needs to hear it and somebody needs to understand. You know, as ministers, as apostles, as teachers and preachers and prophets, you know, our words are very crucial to other people. Yeah. Our words and our action are very crucial to other people. They see us, they hear us, they watch us, you know.
That's
and
right.
I know not one of us is perfect.
Right, right.
But you know, we cannot sit there and try to be better than the next man.
No.
That's right.
That's right.
But what we do is we try to lift each other up.
Yes.
We don't condemn our brothers. We don't condemn our sisters. We don't sit there and poke fun at them. We don't sit there. We raise them up.
Yes.
We listen to them. And we hear the word. But I don't know. I'm trembling right now because what I'm speaking, I know because what I'm speaking, somebody needs to hear this, and I think somebody is listening that needs to hear what I'm speaking. You know,
amen.
It's not about you, and it's not about me.
Yes.
You know, a lot of times I really don't know what I'm going to preach on the radio until almost the last minute, and I praise God for that because I'm so busy that I you know, not say I don't study, but I read the Bible pretty much every day, you know, and I look for things
Amen.
In the Bible, for words, I look for a message, I look for something. But when God spoke to me the other day on this particular subject,
Amen.
You know, it really woke me up. It really brought me to an attention, and you know, and we're seeing the churches and how they're becoming very lame and very lax in a lot of things, and we're seeing this move of spirituality that is coming into the churches, you know, and that's not of God.
None of God.
It's not of God.
No.
You know what is of God is what's written in the Bible. And it's His Word.
Amen.
That's right. That's right.
That's right. Hallelujah.
And His Word is preached from the pulpit for those who listen to the Word of God, for the understanding of the Word of God, who are open and they know that it's of the Spirit of God. And we also know for a fact that it's not them themselves. I mean, I know a lot of ministers who got up on the podium and have preached the word and not know a word what they had said because they were in the Spirit of God and they spoke to a word. They had no clue because the Holy Spirit took over. The Holy Spirit gave the word. The Holy Spirit brought forth the condemnation. He also brought forth whatever it was that needed for those to hear. You know? And I've sat there and I asked them, I said, did you know, and when you spoke, and they go, I never even realized I even said that.
Mm.
They weren't of themselves, they allowed the Holy Spirit speak to them.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
So,
amen.
You know, God even tells us that we don't have to rehearse our words.
Come on,
we don't have to rehearse our words in order to speak.
That's right.
The whole, because we have the knowledge and understanding of the Word of God. We also know that when the Holy Spirit moves upon us, that all we have to do is be a willing vessel and open our mouths, and the Word of God will flow freely. It's when we close our mouths and try to shut out the Holy Spirit, and just so that we can be heard.
Yes.
We quench the Spirit of God. And that's what's happening a lot in these in today's churches, because they want that good feeling, they want that wholesome feeling, they want that spirituality. They're turning to everything else but trying to hear the Word of God. I've been listening to pastors sit there saying, "Well, we'll just preach now because we'll just preach on marriages and finances, and we'll preach on this because you know the people just doesn't want to be sitting in the pews anymore. They don't want to hear the other stuff." Well. Do you realize that when you do that, what you've taken away from them people is a spiritual warfare, because maybe they heard that word a dozen different times, just like you said yourself, Pastor or Apostle.
Yeah.
You said the next day you saw a word in the Bible that you've been studying and studying and studying, and all of a sudden this word jumped out at you.
Yeah.
So how many times does somebody sit in the pulpit and listen and listen and listen, and finally all of a sudden it hits them like daylight, but if you turn yourself away from that and you turn yourself into something else, a modern-day evangelist, where all you're preaching is how to keep your wife happy, how to keep your husband happy, how to sit there and put $1 million in your pocket, and how to, to do these other things. We lost the spiritual warfare which God has had put in us that we have to know and understand in order to defeat the enemy that is coming against us and coming against the church and it's coming against this nation and
that's
all
right.
Nations around the world.
We got to take it. We got to take it by force.
Amen.
Take it by force. For the kingdom of heaven suffered violence, but the violent take it by force. So we got to take it by force.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Well, praise God. That's my word for tonight. I hope that somebody out there needed to hear what I spoke, and I hope that it didn't fall on deaf ears. And if I offended you, oh well, it wasn't me.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Good
word, Pastor.
Wait for me. Amen. Well, you know one
good
thing
word,
I want
Pastor.
To say. A good
Thank
word. One
much.
Thing I want to say tonight to all of us who are on the radio station here. Our God is a great God. What I want you to do tonight for me, a pastor and apostle, I want y'all got my phone number. Text me your email so I can send some information to you. I'm not going to announce it on the radio because it's something God is doing right now that he's letting the world know it, but as we've been saying tonight, nobody wants to receive it.
Yes.
Send me an email, I'm going to show you some what God is showing me. And I will say tonight, because tonight has been a blessed night, it's a time that we have been with God, we watch God and the Spirit, how God brought you in and prompted you and gave us a mighty word. And all I can say tonight is hallelujah. So, Pastor Irvin, would you close out with prayer tonight?
Sure. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you for the word that you've given us tonight, Lord. Father, if there's anybody right now, anywhere, Lord, that has doubt in their heart, Lord, that you'd forgive them, Lord, for the enemy that has come against them, Lord, that has attacked them, Lord, that they probably spoke things that they not really and know they know better, but they're worn, they're tired, and they're distraught, Lord. And I just lift these people up to you right now in forgiveness, Lord, that you have mercy and forgive them, Lord. Father, I ask right now that you keep your hand upon Israel, Lord, and the Israelites, Lord, just keep your hand upon them, Lord, because the enemy is attacking, is growing stronger. And we can see the darkness in the world, Lord, that it's getting darker and darker, Lord. And for those across the world, Lord, the Christians and anyone that is being crucified, Lord, for your name's sake, Lord. Father, let their blood not go in vain, Lord. Let that not be anything that, Lord, that you said that each drop of blood is planting a seed, Lord. Father, I ask right now that for your mercy upon this world, Lord, I ask for your mercy upon each and every one that's in this radio listening distance, Lord, anywhere around the world, Lord, anything that they need right now, Lord.
Amen.
I pray, lay it down right now. Lay it at your feet, Lord, whether it be whatever it is, if it's a sickness, if they're just discouraged, Lord, whatever it is, that you would sit there, Lord, and you would change it for them. You bring healing into their hearts, into their minds, their soul, and their body, Lord. Father, after you just touch Pastor Turner right now, Lord, for healing in his body, Lord. And keep your hand upon the apostle, Lord, and watch over them, their ministries, Lord, and watch over this radio station, Lord. And I pray that it will prosper and continue to grow, Lord, that the word will go out more deeper, Lord, and further, Lord, that we would never even imagine, Lord, who is listening, Lord, that the ears that those who are hearing, Lord, it would turn from their wickedness and their evil, Lord, and begin to understand, Lord, the true meaning of Christ and what you did upon the cross for each and every one of us, Lord. I ask if there's anything in their hearts, Lord, that we ask for forgiveness, Lord, that brought anything against you, Lord, We ask for forgiveness and ask for your mercy in Jesus' name. We pray. Amen.
Amen.
God bless y'all. Until we meet again, don't forget to send me those, text it to my cell phone, and I love you. I love you. I love you. Ain't nothing you can do about it. Amen.
Amen.
Good night.
Good night.
God bless.
God bless.
Everybody, all of you, Jesus. didn't do it tonight.
Be all right.